See, I've been waiting. Waiting on that time. Feel me if you've been waiting on yours. That moment, it's close. It's close.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's alright. Just waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
And that time is now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fighter's Block. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined as always by my co-host, the King of Salvadorian Strong Style, Mr. Jesse Rivas. How you doing this week, Jesse?
Doing all right, doing okay, even though we have a little bit of sad news in the boxing world, but we have a huge boxing weekend, so hopefully that provides a lot of opportunities to be able to celebrate the life and times of Mr. Pernell Whitaker.
We have, we're saying goodbye to Pernell Whitaker. We're going to celebrate it by watching other dudes try to beat the shit out of each other. It's what he would have wanted. You heard us right, 55-year-old, I'm sure people aren't getting this news from us, but 55-year-old Pernell Whitaker passed away over the weekend. He was struck by a car in his home in Virginia. I don't know if they caught the guy. Did they figure out who did it?
They haven't really come out too much with the news on what's going on to this time period. It wasn't a hit and run. He definitely got hit. And
maybe it was like one of his kids or something. Maybe it was a hit. Maybe it was the Chavez's coming back for the ultimate comeback. And Pernell Whitaker, one of the best defensive boxers of all time, slipped, dodged, moved his way out of everything. Olympic champion, world champion, and I think four different weight classes. I mean, one of the best fighters of any of our lifetimes. And it's really, really sad when a champion doesn't get... Because these guys struggle so much and they sacrifice so much that you want them to have these, like, long... kind lives where they get to sit around and smoke big fat dubs and talk about how good they used to be. And Pernell Whitaker, unfortunately, hit by a car, wasn't able to defend that one. And
you could not avoid it.
I really couldn't. I fucking wanted to. Yeah. And he has passed away. Any Pernell Whitaker memories you want to throw out there?
Fantastic career. I mean, this is an all-time Hall of Famer. He was the pound-for-pound king in the mid to early 90s. He was one of those guys, even though he wasn't Cuban, he had that Cuban curse of he wasn't as famous as his skill set. And even though he completely dominated the lightweight division, one of the longest reigns of all time, even though he had completely dominated division after division after division, he never was that pay-per-view star that he should have been, even though he was generally respected as the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Many
believe that if he had gotten the nod in that controversial highway robbery draw against Julio Cesar Chavez, his career would have changed. That would have been it. That would have been the spark that would have made him a crossover superstar, but he just never crossed over.
Everybody knew who he was. Everybody knew he was one of the best on the planet. He had that majority decision or majority draw against Julio Cesar Chavez. He had later on a very exciting rivalry with Wilfredo Rivera that I've gone back and I look back on very fondly. You can go up and down the De La Hoya fight, which in a lot of ways made De La Hoya, you know, who he ended up being. Pernell Whitaker, a very important guy in boxing lore, and we say goodbye to him. Fucked up.
I mean, look at the names of the people he easily outboxed. Roger Mayweather, back in '87. So he beat him in his
Roger Mayweather, by the way. That's how old this is how old school this guy was.
Greg Hogan, Asuma Nelson, the greatest African fighter of all time. The guy who took Salvador Sanchez to the limit, Asuma Nelson. Jorge Paez.
Buddy McGirt. I think on more than one occasion, yeah.
That was one of those Fedor versus Nogueira type things.
Yeah.
Where Pernell Whitaker wasn't there, Buddy McGirt would have been that guy. So it just kept coming back up to the situation. It was like, all right, it's Buddy McGirt versus Pernell Whitaker again.
He beat Julio Cesar Vasquez. Slightly different Julio Cesar. Wilfredo Rivera, like I talked about, he beat just a ton of guys. I think the lack of knockouts, especially the lack of any kind of power, in that defensive style, it's just not, fan friendly a lot of times, but you talk about a technician and a guy that every, if you want to be a successful boxer, you want to be a successful MMA fighter, go back, watch some Pernell Whitaker. You're going to pick up plenty, especially that head movement, the ring generalship, the way he positioned himself inside the ring. One of the best to ever do it. Absolutely. Fucked up. Now we got to move along to dudes who are just trying to kill each other, which is a slightly different topic. Jesse, is there anything since we last spoke that you want to touch on?
The Japanese superstar Murata, the guy who we've counted out, particularly myself in this podcast, is an overhyped job. The king, you know, we talk about Inoue. When it comes to star power, he's far superior to Inoue when it comes to how famous and how respected he is. He's at the face of boxing over there. He's their Canelo.
He's like Akiyama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not a hype job at all. Came back in the rematch against Rob Brand.
It's hard to be the face of Japanese boxing, especially when they all sort of look alike.
But yeah, so he came back, won the knockout, and the second round. So it just proved that the first time was a fluke. Kind of very reminiscent to the way that Paul Williams was outboxed by Carlos Quintana. And then came back and just wiped them clean in the rematch. I think in the first or second round as well.
This second one was in Japan, right?
Yes.
The first one, where was that again? That wasn't in Japan.
I think it was in Japan as well.
It was in Japan as well? Interesting. Yeah, man. It might be as simple as, you know, bad weight cut. It might be as simple as, you know, bad diet. You know, he had food poisoning. You know, there's so many things that go into these guys' fighting careers. Maybe you just watch some bad New Japan or something. And there's so much that goes into any single one of these fights that something messes with the formula a little bit and you see that the results can change wildly.
Or maybe it could have been that he hasn't had that many big fights and that was his first pretty big fight that he had with an international guy who had a lot of experience. Rob Brandt had a phenomenal amateur career. He was looked at to be potentially the dark horse in the World Boxing Super Series. So he was a very seasoned guy, bigger guy coming down in weight. Murata had beaten a lot of good guys, but he had never fought a really good world-class fighter like that. And maybe he just saw what the level was and saw what he needed to step up to.
We kind of missed it because we were off, but International Fight Week happened. There wasn't that much, but there was that UFC event. Jon Jones won. Amanda Nunes beat Holly Holm. Jorge Masvidal becomes a huge star. He becomes Cuban Jesus. Anything on that you want to touch on while we're here?
No, I mean, I thought it was fantastic. I think clearly the star that night was Jorge Masvidal. When non-MMA fans are showing me clips of Jorge Masvidal, I know he's crossed over.
Anytime you can fight on Vine, that's a good thing for your career, right? Ronda Rousey had that, and now Jorge Masvidal just tapped into that, and he is going to get paid for his next fight.
Yes.
Very, very exciting. We had an MMA event over the weekend. It was an okay card. It was kind of shitty, to be honest. You know, it really wasn't that hot. The guy who stole the show actually was a homeboy from Virginia, a guy I know a little bit, Ryan Hall, the 50-50 Academy owner way down in Virginia here. He picked up a very dynamic win over Darren Elkins, a lot of spinning, leg lock attacks, dropped him twice with a left hand, and Darren Elkins is as durable as they come, so to drop him, it's very obvious Ryan's been working on his striking. I thought it was fantastic. And then the main event and co-main event, I think combined it was like a minute and 1 second. It was 61 seconds, which is actually a UFC record for shortest main event plus co-main event. Crazy, right? That's and crazy. We still barely give a shit.
Yeah.
Co-main event, Uriah Faber comes out of retirement, the California old man. He looked like himself, but with that aging app that everybody's using right now. You know what I mean? Like, he just has the wrinkles, but still, like, the wrinkles with the ball chin don't play.
No.
Right?
No.
It's not as good. If he had come out with a wrinkly ball chin originally, he would not have been the same star. He knocks out Ricky Simone in, like, 45 seconds, you know, something like that. And then Jermaine Durandamé starches Aspen Ladd in, like, 15 seconds. Basically, the first punch he lands puts Aspen Ladd down. Is there anything you want to say about Faber? Where are we at with Faber? Is he getting the title shot? Is it Faber versus Cejudo?
Yes.
It's got to be, right? People are arguing like it's not going to be. Of course it's going to be Uriah Faber. He's literally a Hall of Famer. And he came back. He won one fight. He did it as impressively as he's ever been. It's the fastest finish of his career in the last, like, you know, decade and a half. And of course they're going to fast track him to a title shot because Henry Cejudo's going to whip his ass. And then Henry Cejudo's a big star. This is how you make big stars. Yeah. You feed them the old lions. And then Jermaine Durandamé, she, you know, the Iron Lady, the woman who ran away from Cyborg, which is what she's known as mostly in MMA. She lands that big right hand on Aspen Ladd and puts her down. I think Aspen Ladd was still just fucked up from the weight cut, to be honest. It looked like she had no legs, even walking to the ring, walking to the cage. She had nothing.
So did we give Durandamé a chance to fight against the best of all time, Amanda Nunes?
Again?
They fought already?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, right? And it was a bad stoppage. It was Nunes mounted her and was just like flurrying from mount. And this might have been Strikeforce. This was way back in the day.
This was a while ago. I do remember this.
Yeah, no, it was in the UFC because Joe Rogan was on the commentary, I remember. But it ended up as a TKO stoppage, but it was mostly from flurry, not from damage. So there is a little bit of something there where she could say, oh, you know, she's knocking out all these girls. She didn't knock me out, you know. I can take her, even though she was mounted and getting the fuck beat out of her. Where?
She doesn't want it.
No, for sure not. Yeah, back in 2013. It was actually right before Amanda lost to Kat Zingano. So she was definitely still in that, like, you know, who is she? Yeah, finding herself kind of thing. Damn, I forgot that Amanda Nunes, like, retired Shayna Baszler. Badass. And she should add that to her fucking resume, by the way.
That's a crazy resume. She's beaten every female champion.
Everybody. There's never been as pronounced a GOAT. You know what I mean? Like, there's no valuable argument to be had for women's MMA.
With the exception of Gina Carano, she's beaten every girl who's ever had a title, ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she can go back to literally the start of women's MMA on a major level. Every major champion there's ever been, she's beaten them. That's wild. Yeah, Jermaine Durandamé should get Amanda Nunes next at 145 pounds. I know it's a bullshit division. Cyborg has one fight left. And fucking make Jermaine take the difficult fight. Easy enough for me to say. But she already fought her once, so it's even harder for her to say no. Bitch, you already did it once. I'm pretty sure he made it into the second or third round. So hopefully she gets in there. Nothing but respect for my Iron Lady. Oh, no, that was the first round. Regardless. Anything else?
You know what I like about Amanda Nunes?
I thought you were going to compliment me, but continue. I thought you were going to be like, you know what I like about you? I was like, oh my God, thank you.
Amanda Nunes is thick, athletic, but feminine.
She's not feminine.
Well, she doesn't look like Cyborg. She doesn't look like Jermaine Durandamé.
Okay, yeah, in her face, she looks still genetically female.
Yeah, she looks genetically female.
That's the lowest level compliment I've ever heard anyone pay a woman. You literally can't compliment a woman less than by saying, you look genetically female. It's honestly, it's not even a great compliment for a trans woman. I mean, Cyborg looks... Wait, Cyborg, we're going to say looks like technically female? Yeah, kind of. The problem is, I know kind of what you're saying, but like, you cannot compliment a woman less than the one that you just gave. And you said it like, okay, I'm really about to set this down. Like... Damn, I might get a thank you letter off of this.
She looks like a lesbian woman.
Yeah, which are still women.
But like, Cyborg this and is getting... Durandamé are both straight women who look like dudes.
Lesbians don't look like dudes. What are we saying here? Where is this going?
We're saying that it looks like there's been enough chemical alteration to the genetics.
Saying that women who take steroids are all lesbians?
No, we're saying that they look kind of dudish.
I appreciate that they are dudish, but if you don't think Cyborg was married to a man, he was also named Cyborg. We watched his skull get cracked by from MVP.
I'm not saying she's gay. I said she's straight, but she looks more like a dude than a man who's a lesbian.
Yes, but I don't know where the lesbian thing comes in. This is completely off the rails.
She's a guy lesbian, though. She's not the girl lesbian.
Yeah, man. That's still like... Jesse, you need to take like a vision quest after this. You gotta...
What's a vision quest?
You don't know like a vision quest is? Like the Native American thing or the wrestling movie? Have you never seen the wrestling movie Vision Quest?
No.
You've never seen the most important movie in all of amateur wrestling. No. Vision Quest. Starring Michael Moran. I forget his last name. It's
Does it have Lou Diamond Phillips in it?
No, but it's a fucking man. I can't believe you haven't seen Vision Quest. We're all over the place at the beginning of this episode. I don't even know where to turn. First, I was racist to the Asians. Kind of doesn't count because they're all, you know, they're doing great in America. Murata won. And now here we are. We're onto a lesbian thing, and now I'm talking about Vision Quest.
You couldn't get away from...
Matthew Modine.
You couldn't get away from the fact that Pernell Whitaker dodged...
He got hit by a car. It couldn't be more ironic. Right?
A defensive wizard who couldn't get hit gets hit by a car.
I swear to God, it's unbelievable.
The biggest item.
Oh, I'm sure he got hit by like a fucking like 18-wheeler. You know what I mean? It must have been like that scene in Austin Powers where the guy is like, no, from like 30 feet away, but never moves. Yeah, man, look at the... Vision Quest is a fantastic movie, okay? It has Forrest Whitaker in it. He plays Bulldozer. It's great.
How many years ago did this come out?
Man, 80s? This is like the most 80s movie of all time. 1985. So yeah, it is. It also includes an appearance by Madonna. I forgot about that. It's the first movie she's ever in. You gotta watch Vision Quest.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, it stars Matthew Modine. He's like a high school wrestler. He falls in love with an older woman. It kind of fucks with him. Then he figures it out. He wins a big wrestling match. You know, kind of goes from there. It's really fun. It's high school wrestling's Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah. So watch that. And also talk to more lesbians to find out about how lesbians are. Because I think, don't just watch lesbian porn. That's not always how they are. I feel like your research for lesbians comes from just Pornhub titles. Not even like clicking on the video like, Big Bull Dyke dominates a little Asian Mulan or whatever, you know. And then you're just like, okay, I'm picking up the dynamics here. I'm doing sociology. Okay. So do we have anything else to look back on?
So we learned that I need HR training, you need sensitivity training, and we're all over the rails here.
Would you like to talk about the MMA that we have coming up this weekend, Jesse?
Yes. We have fantastic MMA.
This is a really good card in, I believe, San Antonio, Texas. Actually, I was just in Texas, and I was a best man for a man and wife. They met doing jiu-jitsu, actually. He's a brown belt, she's a blue belt. Which is like a little, like, you know, power dynamic thing. Very dom. I get that. And they're going to be at this card, which is pretty cool. Yeah. They did that fucking gay... They're not listening to this, so I can talk shit. They did that gay-ass thing where they, like, did jiu-jitsu for their first dance. And it's like, ugh, what are you
doing? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, you'll do, like, throws and shit. Like, they put out a mat. And then, what? Yeah, it was like, and they were like doing like flying triangles and shit and like rolling leg locks. It was gay as hell. As a jiu-jitsu fighter, it was like, this is embarrassing. We look like fucking dorks. It looks like we are like, no, you must study the blade. Like, it looks like we're like,
wow,
you know, the dorkiest, martial art versus like, no, we're like the cool stoner one we're supposed to be or something.
You know, earlier today I told a girl to shoot like a queen for the continent of Essos from the book Game of Thrones.
Go on.
That's less nerdy than what just went on.
How did she react to that?
She was Asian, so she appreciated
it. Okay, well. Damn, girl, you look like a sexy Mulan, except not 12 years old. Says a lot that Mulan was able to just show up and be like, what's up, I'm a dude. And everybody was like, yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of Amanda Nunes. So we have a really good card coming up this weekend with two of my favorite welterweights on the planet, Jesse. Rafael Dos Anjos is coming off of a really big win over Kevin Lee in a very exciting fight. Actually, it's a quick turnaround for him. That fight was not that long ago. And he is taking on Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards has been on a tear. He has been crushing everybody. And these are two of the best clinch strikers in MMA. This is going to be an incredible clinch battle between these two. Edwards kind of really like burst onto the scene in a big way with a win over Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Since then, he's put together a couple other wins. Dos Anjos, since moving up to 170, I think he might be the number two guy in the world at this weight class, to be honest. I think he is really fucking good. And we are in for some goodness. And there's another storyline in this. I think the winner gets Jorge Masvidal.
Ooh.
And I think especially if that winner is Leon Edwards, for sure they're going to get...
RDA's fought Masvidal, right?
Did he? If he did, he starched. He fucked him up. Because RDA is on another level. It's kind of a question about, like, when is Rafael Dos Anjos, who's not the youngest cat in the world, when is he going to get really, you know, when is he finally going to look old? Hasn't happened yet. He beat up Kevin Lee, who was coming up from a weight and really hadn't adjusted to 170 yet. But that straight left hand, that clinch work, that body kick, that left side body kick, this guy has everything. World-class jiu-jitsu. I know he lost to Colby Covington. I know he lost to Kamaru Usman. But he beat Robbie Lawler. He beat Neil Magny. He's beaten a ton of tough guys. Leon Edwards, on the other hand, he's on like a crazy win streak. What has he won? Seven in a row, Jesse. Seven in a row at 170 is legit. He has beaten Brian Barberena. He beat Vicente Luque. He beat Gunnar Nelson. He beat Donald Cerrone. This is a tough, tough motherfucker. He could pull this upset. What do you think about this fight?
I think this is a fantastic fight. This is a big fight. This fight gets me really excited, particularly if it is the Masvidal
sweepstakes.
I'm 100% all in. Just to confirm, RDA has not fought Jorge Masvidal. They did exist in the lightweight division at the exact same time, but they never fought each other. This is a great win. Great time period for Leon Edwards, for the whole world to know who he is. He just went viral, which you couldn't ask more for. They both have just beat Donald Cerrone, so that's...
He was the original three-piece in the soda.
Yeah.
People forget that. They think it was Ben Askren now. The white man coming in and taking the, I'm pretty sure, British black man's swagger. Isn't it always the way, Jesse? Yeah. Oh, no, he's born in Jamaica. Neat.
I mean, he beat Tumanov. That's a fantastic victory. I mean, he's at that stage in his life where he needs to be seen. He's been in the UFC. He's been pulling up that good streak. So I look forward to this fight. Man, it's age versus experience.
I like Dos Anjos.
I gotta go Leon Edwards.
You're gonna go Leon Edwards. I'm not mad at that pick at all. Man, his last fight against Gunnar Nelson, he showed a lot of difficulty against somebody who was able to, you know, drag him down a couple of times.
It's a good fighter that we know is, well, it's a great fighter that's at the end of his prime. Undeniably, 34 years old as a fighter is literally when your prime starts going away. Against a guy who's in his prime that we don't know how good he is. He's a question mark.
I mean, we can't just go off a yearbook here. We have to look at what's happening. Kevin Lee, same thing. He was 34 when he fought Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee's in his prime and a very, very tough customer. And Dos Anjos was able to pick up the win there. Dos Anjos beat Neil Magny. Dos Anjos beat Tarek Safadine pretty recently. This is a very, very tough guy who I believe in a lot at 170. I think this is a guy who can put himself right at the top. He's not the number two welterweight. I don't know why I said that. He's really not because he lost to Covington and Usman. But he's very tough. I think he's going to pick up the win here. Jesse, co-main event. Actually, not the co-main event. Fuck the co-main event because it's Olenek versus Walt Harris. Good enough fight, but Olenek's going to choke him out. Fight I definitely want to talk about is a rematch from back when I was in fucking high school. Andre Arlovsky is taking on Ben Rothwell in a battle of old-ass, old-school heavyweights. They fought once before way back. Arlovsky still hadn't really been exposed in a lot of ways. Like, we knew he was chinny, but he hadn't been slept by Fedor, which is where I think, like, the big downturn for him came. And he ended up knocking out Ben Rothwell. Rothwell coming back strong after some USADA stuff. And ironic that the guy who looks like, the god, the literal, like, Greco-Roman gods, the 300 gods, is not the one coming off the USADA bullshit. It's fucking big, flappy Ben Rothwell. Neither of these guys has picked up a win in a really long time. They're both really, really looking for something, but the UFC really doesn't have that many heavyweights, so these guys can stick around for a long time. I like Rothwell here. I think Arlovsky is just so washed now. We've said this so many times, right? And he's come back strong. But listen to these losses. Shamil Abdurakhmanov. Isn't that the guy who lost to fucking Greg Hardy? It looked like shit. I'm pretty sure. He lost to Tai Tuivasa, which isn't a horrible loss. He lost to Augusto Sakai, who's, you know, not that hot. He had a no contest against Walt Harris. This guy cannot not get it together. And I'm pretty sure Walt Harris beat him and then tested positive for something. So this guy just, you know, he can't fucking pick up a win. The last guy he beat was Stefan Struve. Stefan Struve literally had to retire because his heart was, like, beating, like, off center. Like his heart was hanging out of his armpit or something.
Stefan Struve is one of the most poorly managed fighters I've ever seen.
His heart was broken, and I don't mean in a sad way. It was literally fucked up. It's not mismanagement. He was dying. He's too tall to exist. He's 7'15". I like Rothwell in this fight. You too?
Yeah, I got Rothwell.
Do you want to talk about Greg Hardy on the card?
Yeah,
who gives a shit, right?
We have I'm a fan of that James Vick versus Dan Hooker. Did I have a stroke there for a second? I think that's a great fight. I'd love to see James Vick beat that Hooker. No.
I would love that. James Vick versus Dan Hooker is a great fight. I think Dan Hooker is one of the most underrated guys in the entire UFC.
Yeah.
As an Australian, he's coming out with fantastic striking. His shot selection, his combinations are great. James Vick is kind of a little bit more of an athlete. He's one of the more athletic guys at 155 pounds. He's really
big
tall.
At that weight class.
He's really tall, real big. I fucking hate his team. He's a Team Lloyd Irvin guy, who actually, ironically, I like a lot of the guys on TLI that I know from Jiu-Jitsu, but I just fucking hate what they like. I hate Lloyd. And James kind of seems like a dick. I really liked when he got slept by Justin Gaethje. So I'm going to pick Dan Hooker to knock him the fuck out with a head kick.
It's going to be a fantastic fight.
Prove me wrong. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. They really both have a lot of skill. They both really have a lot that they bring to the table. It's going to be a nice striking battle. James Vick leaves that chin out there, though, and he gets chin checked from time to time. He did against Paul Felder. He did against Justin Gaethje. He did against Beneil Dariush. He gets chin checked. So for these guys, I think it's going to be a really, really exciting fight. Listen to some of these wins by Dan Hooker, by the way. He lost to Edson Barboza with a... do you remember that crazy Edson Barboza fight?
Yeah.
He walked through fire in
that. Was that his most recent fight?
It was his most recent fight.
How was he going to look after that fight?
It's been 7 months. That's, you know, a little bit of time, you know. For, you know, he probably spent 2 months, 3 months in camp. He probably had, you know, 4 months off.
That looked like a for the rest of your life ass whooping.
Yeah, so maybe he's coming back, you know. That'll be something to keep an eye on. Did all that damage fuck with him. But he beat Gilbert Burns. He beat Jim Miller. He beat Ross Pearson. This guy, he beat Hatsu Hioki when that was actually a good win. This guy has some good stuff going on. So I picked Dan Hooker to win. Underrated fight, we don't have to get into it. Francisco Trinaldo taking on Alex Hernandez. That's, you know, two top 15, like 11 through 15-ish level lightweights. And lightweight is so deep that that really matters. Raquel Pennington, who fought for the title before, she's a top 5 girl. She's taking on Irene Aldana. There's a lot of really, really good stuff on this card, Jesse.
It's going to be a very busy week because there's also a lot of great boxing coming up this week.
Let's talk great boxing because obviously the fight of the weekend is in boxing.
Do you want to start with the biggest fight of the weekend or do you want to go in order?
In order of what? Just do however. Throw something at me.
Okay. So we start
Fruit Ninja
on
style.
Friday.
I'll swipe it through.
Friday, we have the eliminator for the lightweight title. It is the unofficial tournament to see who's going to fight Lomachenko next. So the unofficial tournament happened earlier before when we had Beltran versus Richard Comey. The winner of that fight is going to fight the winner of this fight this weekend for that Lomachenko sweepstakes. We have Teofimo Lopez in the other side of the eliminator fight against Masayoshi Nakatan.
The fact that we can't pronounce his name confidently should give you an idea about who is expected to win the fight.
We know who's expected to win, but internationally, Nakatan is a huge, huge, huge star in Japan. So it's been getting a lot of media. It's going to happen right here in D.C. at the MGM.
Exciting.
And it's going to be a great fight. I have a theory that the reason that they have Teofimo Lopez fighting here is because he's Central American. There hasn't been a huge Central American fighter since the 1980s when Nicaragua had their big fighter, Alexis Arguello.
Mm.
And
damn, good pull. Good Alexis Arguello pull.
Yeah, that was the last time there was a Central America. I mean, we had Ricardo Mayorga. I was going to mention Mayorga. But Mayorga, he was more like the heel.
Yeah, you didn't want to claim Mayorga in that same way. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he wasn't like that hero.
It wasn't like, Guido's and Wife Beaters had Ray Boo Boo Mancini or something. Where it's like, that's really our guy. He represents us 100%. You know what I mean?
But Teofimo Lopez being
bodega owners who shush minorities out of their store with brooms. Boom, boom.
Teofimo Lopez.
Giving it to Ray Mancini for no reason. Continue.
Every time I go up to like Central Americans and let them know that there's a Honduran fighter who looks to be like he's going to be the next pound for pound king,
Can I guess what happens? Number one, they start speaking to you in very fluid Spanish, and you struggle to understand what's going on. That does happen.
A lot.
Because the way you phrase it makes it sound like these are total strangers that you just walk up to and start talking about Honduran boxers.
So yeah, if you
what actually happens? I'm sorry for cutting you off for the joke. I'm not sorry. It's a comedic podcast.
They don't believe me at first. And then when they do believe me, they're like, oh, yeah, we're really going to follow this guy. We're really excited about that. So, being that there's a huge Central American population in D.C., actually it's the majority of Latinos in D.C. are Central American, I think this is a great place to start establishing him as a star.
I think that would be great, but Teofimo Lopez is doing a lot to establish himself as a star well outside of just like a niche area. Teofimo Lopez has been really exciting. He has a ton of hype behind him. He's doing all the right things. He's winning fights. He's winning by knockout. He's winning, and he's pushing action and pushing excitement. I mean, this guy's throwing punches behind his own back. He's doing everything he can to try to put himself out there. So while I agree that the Central Americans will get behind him, hopefully, I don't think it stops there by any means. This guy has star potential all over him. Young, good-looking guy, fights the right way. This is the guy, right? This is going to be the guy who fights Lomachenko.
He's the guy who they wanted Ryan Garcia to be.
Exactly. Oh, man, Ryan Garcia, what a fucking... Has that guy even, like... When was the last time that guy even fought? It's been a minute, right? When's the last time that guy fought and it wasn't, like, on Instagram versus a baby mama?
He fights pretty frequently, actually. He just doesn't fight anyone. But he's about the same age as Lopez. And it's funny because, like, Lopez...
Real goofus and gallant. Hispanic goofus and gallant kind of thing going on.
Yeah, he was calling him out. And they were like, yeah, we should make that fight happen. But they had the same, like, promoter. And they were like, no.
We would like to continue making money with Ryan. We shall not be making that fight.
This is not the fight we need to make. But, yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Lopez, had Ryan Garcia...
He would tenderize him. Ryan would legitimately, I'm not exaggerating, probably retire.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be a terrible ass woman.
That would be bad. So and fight, I think he's going to whip Nakatan.
Oh, yeah.
100%, right? Yeah. Who are we kidding?
Yeah. The fight of the weekend, obviously, is going to be Keith One-Time Thurman versus Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao. Are you ready for this welterweight battle? It is the battle of generations.
I am ready to stop talking about this fight. I am so excited that I can stop hearing everyone's head-ass opinions about what this fight is going to look like. Because you don't know. Because nobody knows. Because this fight could turn out in any one of 10 fucking billion ways. This is like one of those ink blot tests. This is one of those Rorschach tests of fighting. However you want to see this fight taking place and playing out, it could happen. And if these guys fought 10 times, it would probably look very different most of the time. Keith Thurman, he was looking to be the post-Mayweather guy at welterweight. He was looking to really take over that weight class. Then he gets hurt, right? He's out with an elbow injury for like 2 years. He's a champion. He's got all the momentum. He's got all this. He's got all that. He goes into the championship injured. He sits out 2 years. Suddenly he comes back. He looks fucking horrible.
And I thought that he was going to look horrible the whole entire time. Because this is what happened from the time period that he got injured. He was going to be gone for a year. He was on top of the welterweight division. He was the man. He's still the linear champion, even though no one considers him the actual champion. But he was the man. He fell in love. He reconnected with his family. He discovered yoga.
By the way, I would like to point out that you originally developed this opinion while you were going through a bad breakup. So your opinion of like, no man, he's in love. He can't fight no more. He sucks. Might be a little like painted by that.
But he started changing who he was. Like, he expanded himself. He no longer was like a big, tough, one-time Thurman. He ended up being like this, like, he started realizing that kids were looking up to him and he became like a role model and started being like, and then he went back in the ring and he wasn't the same killer. Who did he fight against? Luis Collazo, and looked horrible and almost even lost that fight?
That was really bad. That 6th, 7th, and 8th round against Josecito Lopez.
It was Lopez. It wasn't even Collazo. It wasn't even a top level gatekeeper.
No, it was a real tertiary guy. Josecito did look good in that fight for whatever it's worth. It wasn't just that Thurman was fighting down. Josecito was fighting up. But also, yeah, he had been out for 2 years. And he had been, you know, elbow injuries, you can't do shit as a boxer. It is real tough to do anything. You can't really run. You can't lift. You can't, you know, even do shadow work. You have to just fucking sit there. And so I'm not surprised that he looked shitty. He needed a fight under him. That's why we got him a shitty guy. They didn't come back and put him back in there with, like, your Dennis Ugas, who we're going to talk about in a minute, or, you know, some kind of Sean Porter guy. He needed a rep. He got his rep. Now he's taking on Manny Pac.
Manny Pac, who's actually looked sensational in the post-Floyd Mayweather fight. Since he lost to Floyd Mayweather, he's actually come back, looked fantastic, fight outside the country, possibly taking steroids.
Why is that important? Why? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, possibly taking steroids, but he looks like he's found the fountain of youth.
Really looking past those two things. You know, there's a MMA super journalist, Luke Thomas, who's so right about so much. He's on this big thing that, like, steroids and performance-enhancing drugs don't really do anything. I don't know what the fuck that's about. Like, he stays on it about, like, oh, it's really overblown. How it's like, no, they're performance-enhancing drugs. They enhance your performance. Manny's performances have been enhanced.
Well, to be fair, he retired Timothy Bradley in the U.S.,
and by the way, in boxing, when you retire somebody, that means they were washed 3 years ago. Yeah. Fair?
Fair. He beat Jesse Vargas, who's the man who beat Josecito Lopez, who Thurman struggled with, in the U.S. His two fights in out of the country, though, was one against Jeff Horn.
Which, what happened?
He
go
got
on.
Robbed.
No, run that back. What happened against Jeff Horn? The school teacher, house painter, guy who, it turns out, is not good at boxing. We've seen him since. He's really, really shitty at boxing. What happened? Run that. Hit me.
He lost.
He lost that fight to the guy who's bad at boxing, who's definitely worse than Keith Thurman. I'll put it to you this way. If Keith Thurman fought Jeff Horn, if Keith Thurman from the Josecito Lopez fight fought Jeff Horn from the Pacquiao fight, Thurman would win.
But that was outside the country.
Yeah, which means Manny Pacquiao was juiced out of his mind and at the best he could be.
And then Pacquiao knocks out Matisse in Malaysia.
Didn't he retire Matisse as well?
Yeah.
So that means what again? Like we established
Washed
earlier?
Up.
So when was the last like real win that he had?
And then he beat Broner in the U.S.
Okay, but Broner, right? Broner's a year away from retirement. He was washed 2 years ago.
But he would have destroyed Josecito Lopez.
I don't know that to be true. He lost to Jeff Horn.
I gotta go Manny Pacquiao on this fight.
Man, I don't see it. You know, I could see Manny Pacquiao winning. If Manny Pacquiao wins a boxing match, it's not a surprising thing, right? But I think people are being so fucking disrespectful to Keith Thurman. It's literally just boxing culture rebelling against a guy doing yoga is literally what's happening. They saw a guy doing yoga and they assume he must be a giant pussy now. And they forget that, yeah, sometimes these guys need a fight back. And sometimes these guys have fights where they look super shitty.
Who do you think the slight underdog is?
I bet Keith Thurman is the slight underdog.
The slight underdog. He's a plus 125.
Yeah, because they saw him doing yoga and everybody's betting against him because people are fucking retarded. If
he's
you want money.
He loves his wife. He's being a role model. He's not a killer.
Yeah, and boxing is full of sad boys who bet the same way. Yeah, I 100%. The only thing that gives me any amount of, and by the way, I'm yelling so loudly, I bet we're going to get our fucking apartment door knocked on. The only thing that gives me any pause to straight up say Keith Thurman is going to fuck his Filipino ass up is that they are not doing FODA testing.
Yes.
Which is a very important thing. Because Manny Pacquiao is going to come in like TRT Vitor Belfort, right? He's going to come in TRT Manny and be just juiced to the gills. He's going to be, chemically speaking, a panther. You know what I mean? Hormonally, he will not be
human.
That's
why I'm betting on Pacquiao. As soon as
I still think Thurman wins.
When I found out they weren't testing, I was like, oh, yeah, I completely think he's going to win. He's going to be too fast.
If you bet on Manny Pacquiao,
I think it's going to be speed. Speed kills.
Oh, okay, then Thurman's going to win. Thurman's way faster than Pacquiao.
I don't think so.
Pacquiao needs the power. Pacquiao has the power advantage, not the speed advantage.
I don't feel like he's faster. I think Pacquiao's faster.
I don't know that I agree. 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao. When was the last time Manny Pacquiao knocked somebody up, besides Lucas Matisse, who was Welsh many years ago?
I know that. Steroids, though. He was in Malaysia.
I'm pretty sure I was in high school.
He took the juice. When was the last time Thurman knocked someone up?
It's happened. When was the last time? Is this like a Manny Pacquiao thing where we look around and it's like, hey guys, it's been 8 years since Manny Pacquiao knocked somebody up?
I think it has been, because all right, let's look at Keith Thurman's record. So
he needs to change that nickname from one time to run time if he hasn't been knocking people out. Keep in mind, some of that time he was out with a very serious injury.
So Keith Thurman's last knockout was a very controversial knockout. It was kind of a very controversial stoppage of Diego Chavez back in 2013.
Ooh, it's been a minute for him as well. So but even still, you look at him, this is a gritty, gritty guy. You don't get through that fucking legendary Sean Porter fight without being gritty.
The last clean knockout that he had was Carlos Quintana back in 2012.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So he's right there with Manny Pacquiao. So Pacquiao's probably going to have a power advantage, like I already stipulated, but the speed advantage is going to go to Thurman. Let's be serious here. And Manny Pacquiao's been able to be figured out. Smart boxers have started to figure out Manny. He's just not the guy he used to be, I think. I think at 40, you're a little different.
Speaking of smart boxers, that under.
How about this? If we could talk for the RDA Leon Edwards fight. One guy's just entering his prime. One guy is 40 years old.
I see. I feel like both guys are leaving their prime. I feel like they're leaving their prime at different times. I really feel like Keith Thurman's been washed ever since that injury.
No, you're just anti-yoga.
Here's proof that I think he's washed.
We won't have proof till Saturday.
Before his injury, it was like Spence versus Thurman was the fight.
Mm-hmm.
After the injury, nobody thinks that he would beat Spence.
Yeah, because they saw him doing bullshit yoga and they get mad at him. Or
Terrence Crawford.
Okay, but those are two all-time generational fighters. Those are two fighters that are going to define the next generation for, what, 8 to 10 years?
But we thought Keith Thurman was there before that.
Okay, Keith Thurman isn't a top 3 pound for pound guy. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he will be a fucking washed Manny Pacquiao. It's a little different. If he was fighting Spence or Crawford, I would not pick him.
When he was beating Danny Garcia and when he was beating Sean Porter, we thought he could be that.
I didn't. we've made our picks. Do you have anything else about this fight?
No, but the semi-main event is going to be a very interesting one.
I am super interested in this fight. This fight gets my fight pussy very wet.
Yeah, we had mentioned the fact that, you know, Ugas technically beat Sean Porter. That Dennis Ugas would probably never get another shot. But he didn't
technically beat Sean Porter.
Well,
he could have. It was a very close fight.
Most people thought he beat Sean Porter.
So he technically lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he actually lost.
Yes. Which is technically.
So your Dennis Ugas actually gets another shot.
Which is amazing. We said in the show that Dennis Ugas was never going to get another shot. So maybe don't listen to us about things. But Dennis Ugas is finally getting another shot. I'm really excited about this.
In an eliminator to fight the winner of Pacquiao versus Thurman as an option, of course. Mm-hmm. They could always choose.
Which they're not going to take.
Yeah. Basically.
By the way, this eliminator does not matter. Unless it's John Molina and he... Or not John Molina. Unless it's the other guy and he doesn't look good.
I think it's only if Thurman wins.
If Thurman and Figueroa win, they'll make that fight. But that is the only combination.
I feel
here.
If Thurman and Ugas wins, they fight.
No.
I think if Pacquiao wins, he doesn't fight either one of these guys.
For sure, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't think Thurman and Ugas are going to match up. I think Thurman...
Ducks him?
Duck is a big word. But... Let's talk about Dennis Ugas. Dennis Ugas had an incredibly close fight with Sean Porter, who is the Rottweiler of this division, and I do not say that racially. And he kind of got stuck in this position where a lot of people are saying, oh my God, he's so tough, he's so strong, he's so durable, he's so aggressive, but he has no name value, so nobody's going to want to fight him. I think that still matters, and I don't think beating Omar Figueroa Jr., who's a very good fighter... I don't think that puts him at a level where that really changes that math for a lot of people. Especially those upper echelon guys who have a name.
Your Dennis Ugas is one of the most interesting careers. So your Dennis Ugas was a former bronze medalist, former world boxing champion.
Bronze medalist Olympic?
Olympic.
No shit.
Yeah. But he didn't really do well. He was in the wrong weight class. And he kept trying to make the weight class. You know, he lost to guys like Amir Imam. He lost against Johnny Garcia by split decision, who's not necessarily a name. He took some time off, came back as a welterweight, and pulled off an impressive string of victories. He was basically undefeated as a welterweight until he fought against Sean Porter. And really getting people excited because he was just a bigger, stronger, better guy at the bigger weight class. And also, since he took that time off, he actually recuperated from his injuries after taking 2 years off.
You motherfucker. We just talked about Keith Thurman. You're going to give me that. You motherfucker.
Well, he wasn't a career-defining injury. He was reevaluating his career after losing to Imam.
You motherfucker. Okay, so he's mentally shaken. It's okay, you goddamn son of a bitch. Are you going to have two sides of your goddamn mouth here on this podcast? I will wash your mouth out with soap. Man, I'm putting myself out on a limb here if Keith Thurman loses this fight bad. I really have talked myself into a corner. But I'll talk my way out of it. I'll figure it out. Continue, please.
Now, Omar Figueroa is one of the most impressive prospects in all of boxing. A guy who everyone thought was going to be the next generation of the sport. He's a guy who about 5-6 years ago people were saying was going to be a multi-time world champion. Looked incredibly impressive. Phenomenal amateur background. But he just hasn't been active. He's very Gary Russell Jr. in that aspect where he wins a fight, makes a couple hundred grand, and then just disappears. He'll beat a good fighter. I mean, he's wiped out a lot of great fighters. He destroyed Ricky Burns, but he did it kind of low-key after Ricky Burns was on his way out. He destroyed Antonio DeMarco, but also kind of low-key at the end of DeMarco's career. Same thing, Robert Guerrero, who fought Floyd Mayweather, the Ghost, destroyed him. And John Molina destroyed him, but always kind of does it very low-key, doesn't cut a good promo, and disappears for a while. Like, if you think of the DeMarco fight to the Guerrero fight, that was a 2-year layoff. So, I can't... And sometimes he comes in pudgy, and it's like, you made the weight, but you look awful. Like, is his heart really in it? I mean, he's obviously a very talented fighter, but it's very interesting to see. This is a fight where it's a proving ground. You're 29 years old now. You're no longer a prospect. Is he going to go to the upper echelon, or is he just going to be a wasted talent?
I just had my 29th birthday, so that really hit home. Omar Figueroa, he's like one of those guys that you're always checking his Wikipedia page. Like every time he has another fight coming up, you check his Wikipedia page. Like, oh, what's he been up to since the last time I heard about him? And yeah, it's just nothing. He just you're like, oh, he must have won like some bullshit fight, like, you know, at some fucking like Indian reservation. No, he's just been fucking sitting around. Yeah, man, I feel like this is a trap fight for him. I feel like Ugas is set up to blow those cheeks out. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I don't know. It could go either way for me because it's like...
Really?
Yeah, because Figueroa is naturally in that weight class. He's not a guy moving up. He's super talented. He's really good. But God, like... I know Ugas really wants it, and I know Figueroa has the skills to beat him.
That's what I'm saying, man. I just feel like, you know, Ugas is keyed up right now. He is on that Colombian plan, you know what I'm saying. He is rock hard, erect, ready to go. He is here to fuck. He is here at this party to fuck somebody. Whereas Figueroa's just kind of hanging out, you know, in the Hawaiian shirt, you know, figuring it out. Having some good time, playing some beer pong.
It always bothers me when someone's that talented.
And so who's taking home cheeks? You tell me. The guy who came here to fuck or the guy who came here to party? The guy who came here to fuck.
Yeah, let's go with Ugas. I'm going to go Ugas with this one. This will probably be the retirement fight for Figueroa. But you never know, man. That's a pretty 50-50 fight to me. I would give the slight edge to Ugas just because of consistency. We have a fun fight right on the undercard. The guy who retired Lamont
Peterson.
It's a
really good card, yeah. Right? This is a good card.
Yeah.
We don't always get these.
Yeah, so the guy who retired Lamont Peterson in Washington, D.C., Sergey Lipinets, is back, and he's going to fight against John Molina Jr., who John Molina Jr. has been known to put Fight of the Year candidates out there. He either goes on a shield and gets knocked out the way he did against DeMarco, the way he's been knocked out by some other people. He fought that guy, I want to say, doesn't matter, but he's been knocked out a couple times. Or he puts out Fight of the Year candidates like he did against Provodnikov, like he did against Matisse. The guy can bang when the time comes. So it's going to be a very interesting fight to see how he does against Lipinets. But this could be a fight of, this could be like a fight of the year kind of candidate type fight.
This is a sleeper fight. Do not be one of those guys that just tunes in for the main event, because you are definitely going to miss some fireworks. Unless Lipinets, you know, pulls out some jab that is just a frozen rope from hell, I don't see any way where John Molina doesn't end up dragging this to be a really, really fun... Was it 10 rounds that we're scheduled for? Or are we going
10
for
rounds.
10 rounds? This is going to be a really fun 10 rounds. Left or right, red or blue, whoever comes away. I feel like Lipinets is going to get it, but I feel like John Molina, it's going to be a John Molina fight.
Hard, yeah.
John Molina hits like a motherfucker. This to me is a 50-50. I wouldn't bet this fight.
I feel like the people who blow out Molina are speed people. And if you have very relative speed, his power could become a very big issue. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to this.
I agree 100%.
For Caleb sure, Plant versus Mike Lee is so much fun.
This is another really fun fight. A lot of really good stuff this weekend. Good fight weekend. We've been dry for a couple weeks here. And suddenly, you know, we get our hormone levels checked. We get right back in. We get a little lube going. Suddenly I'm drenched, Jesse. My fight pussy's so wet.
Mike Lee.
That's my new
Caleb Plant. Should be, skill-wise, should be a very even fight. But I feel like the psychological game is there. So Mike Lee comes from an upper middle class family. I think he went to like an Ivy League school. And he just didn't grow up in the streets the way Caleb Plant did. Caleb Plant grew up about as hood as you could possibly get. And he's been using all that streetness in the intimidation of this fight.
Streetness. Sorry.
Did you see the press conference where he basically punked him and Mike Lee couldn't even look at him in the face?
Oh, I thought that was just Mike Lee, like, kind of being over it. But I don't disagree that, like, that Caleb Plant for sure is the more thug of the two by reputation.
It's the rich white kid versus the poor white kid. It's the trailer versus the country club.
See, but those country club guys do win a lot. We can't pretend that they don't, right? If the fucking, if the poorer, hungrier guy won all the time, Jorge Masvidal would be an undefeated guy, right? But Jorge Masvidal is 6-5 in his last 11. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of have to take the good and take the bad. We take them both and then we have a pretty fun fight here. Caleb Plant's mom just got killed by the cops, and it's the first cop killing that I've heard of, like a civilian killed by, it's the first one I've heard of those in like the last like 12 years where everybody there was like, oh no, that was cool.
It was like, no mom.
Yeah, so, you know, he's been going through a rough time. Maybe that'll affect him. Probably not, but still. It's a really weird dynamic, yeah. And Mike Lee feels like a sim, you know what I mean? Mike Lee feels like there's somebody just like, go in this room, and then he forgets why he's in the room or something. I like Caleb Plant to win the fight. I think that he is a little bit... He's so intense. He's so keyed up. He is going to win this fight and blow all of that money. Caleb Plant will not end his life with any of the money that he makes in boxing. I will go out on a limb and say that right now.
Yeah. Mike Lee... You know what? It reminds me of every now and then there's like an MMA fighter that comes in there and it's like... It's kind of Brendan Schaub-ish. Like, he's more of an athlete than a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get that feel. I feel like Caleb Plant, that's all he could have done.
Oh, 100%. Caleb Plant was fighting people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was like, it's like homeboy. Who was that, like, Russian mob enforcer? Sergei Karatanov.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, he's fighting people. He can do it for the Russian mob, or he can do it for a paycheck from MMA. Sometimes he did both. But he's doing it one way or the other. We may as well fucking go legit with this.
It's like Kovalev.
Yeah, Kovalev is an even better example.
I know people who interview boxers, and they were like, when Kovalev talks to you, you don't feel like he cares about not hurting you. Like, if you say the wrong thing, you get to feel like he will smack you in the mouth.
I love when I give, like, an example and there's a way better example, like, right there. You know what I mean? Like, when it's like, listen, if you consider the movie Buttfuck Sluts Go Medieval, actually Hamlet tells it a little bit better, if we want to go with that.
It's a Beat the Clock challenge in the opener of this card. So it's
would you like to recuse yourself from fight picks for this next fight? You can, no problem.
So it is. It's arguable. Ever since the Monster Inouye moved up in weight, joined the World Boxing Super Series, if he is the number one guy in the weight class, or if it's Luis Neri. Luis Neri kind of reminds me of like Jose Aldo in his prime. He's like this young, dominant kid in his weight class. He's actually, they're both relatively about the same age, same size, both very dominant. So Neri did not, whatever reasons happened, but him and his promotional team, it didn't allow for him to be in the World Boxing Super Series like everyone had dreamed of. But he will fight the guy who Inouye just fought in kind of a beat-the-clock challenge. It's almost like he's staying in the outskirts and waiting for the winner of the World Boxing Super Series to really prove, are you number one in the weight class? Well, he wants to make his argument. What do you think of this fight?
I think it is a really good fight. I think Juan Carlos Payano, we have nothing but respect for him on this podcast for various reasons. Luis Neri, man, you got to be sitting outside this World Boxing Super Series, and you just got to... He fucking, in a way, is approaching like a... He's approaching like Jason. You know what I mean? Just like, nothing is stopping him, and he's only gaining momentum. Will somebody please slow this guy down? Maybe a thousand-year-old homeboy, can't remember his name off the top of my head, please hit me with it.
Nonito Donaire.
Nonito Donaire, thank you very much. Maybe he'll do something. He's not. And yeah, Luis Neri versus Inouye is secretly becoming one of the better fights that we can make in boxing.
And the one thing about Neri is he's kind of like that, like in Mexico they know him, and like places that follow the lower weight classes.
Places that don't pay money for fights, yeah. I hear.
But, and like, you know, nerds that watch like boxing online like I do. But Inouye has crossed over in his last couple fights.
That's all of our fans. This is an internet show. People only get this over the internet. Please don't call them nerds as much as I do. One of us needs to be cool. It's not me.
So yeah, I got Neri winning this. Do you think he beats the clock?
No. I don't think he beats the clock. I think he has a very respectable TKO win. I do not believe that he beats the clock. Do you agree?
I agree.
Man, has anybody matched Inouye's power? Right? Maybe you can beat Inouye. I'm not saying Inouye is unbeatable at this weight class. But how do you match that fucking pop? I don't think you can. I don't know if I've ever seen it, to be honest. I mean, people just... He just fought Homeboy, the Puerto Rican kid.
Yeah.
People thought he had fucking plastered his hands. He hadn't. He just hits like he has. It's unreal. It's unreal. How big do you think Inouye's dick is? Is it really big or is it really small?
I think it was.
There's a reason why he knocks everybody out.
You know,
is it that he has big dick swagger or little dick energy and he needs the knockout? You know what I mean?
He's from the Philadelphia of Japan. He's from Yokohama. He's from where they invented deathmatch wrestling.
So he's from like the I could just go off about Philly for hours.
It's a steel town located right outside of, it's a train ride.
It's crazy how living in a steel town just drives you insane. You know what I mean? Like, it happens in Russia, and it happens in all these, you know, every country. If you grow up in a steel town, maybe it's the fumes, you want to pretend to kill each other by sort of killing each other. Right? With like ECW wrestling and deathmatch wrestling. And like,
so, I mean, the parallels are there. So let's say Tokyo is New York.
Sure.
And then let's say a 2-hour train ride from New York is Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same thing with the Yokohama. Like the suburban rich kids would go there to see deathmatch wrestling in Yokohama. And that's where they had all this steel town, blue collar Japanese people creating basically ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having the exact same thing in Philadelphia.
Yes, it does.
And boxing and fighters.
Big Asian Paul Heyman just strutting his way to the ring. Oh, my name Paul Heyman. Okay, continue.
But, yeah, it created boxers, too. It created, like, almost Philly-style boxers.
Big sumo ass. That big sumo Brock Lesnar next to him. Some big Yokozuna guy.
Because if you think of like a, J-Rock, you think about like that technical style of boxing that exists. I mean, you got to say Inouye fits that kind of mold.
Brock Lesnar, continue. I'm sorry. I just like I'm really thinking about Asian Paul Heyman. That's Brock all Lesnar. I'm going. That's all I'm going off of. Yeah, no, people know Brock Lesnar. It's still an MMA podcast. I don't even know what we're talking about.
We also have the a fight Steel in Town? The zone.
Yeah, Steel Towns.
Yeah, we also. So yeah, it's gonna be. It's good. He's not even fighting this weekend.
No, I don't know why we're talking about it, but it's just like he's so fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Just this little dick Japanese dude just stoning everybody to death with those left and rights. He crushes everybody. Watching an Inoue fight is literally like a Godzilla movie. Like, it's so exciting.
There's going to be a fun fight out of London, England, coming out of the zone. We have Oscar Rivas coming off one of his biggest victories. He cracked the top 10. He's one of the
biggest win of his career.
Biggest win of his career.
The hottest he's ever been.
Phenomenal amateur, phenomenal prospect for a long time. People were waiting for big things. He was highly avoided for a long time, fighting against another guy who's highly avoided.
It's got to suck when you start out your career as a heavyweight boxer, because it's like, oh, you're a prospect with the heavyweight division. You're literally going to be top four within a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like at the time when he started. And now you get up here and it's like, God damn, there's goddamn kaiju everywhere. Sorry.
Kaiju?
That's what those big dinosaur creatures in Godzilla. Oh. I was sticking with. Yeah, yeah. So like Mothra is a kaiju.
Yeah.
You remember the movie Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
Where they fought like big sea monsters and shit? Those are kaiju. Yeah. See, you once told me that I treat myself like a nerd more than I should. I don't think that's true. I really think I play it the other way. I really think like I play it down.
But yeah.
Anyway, Oscar Rivas is very good at boxing.
So yeah, but the problem with Oscar Rivas is the fact that he's too muscular. So he gets tired in the later rounds. So his knockout power is what he really relies on. It was great as an amateur because it's less rounds, but now he kind of paces himself more. And he's going against Dillian White. And Dillian White's been looking phenomenal.
Dillian White has been snatching souls out here.
Yeah.
Dillian White's been fucking everybody up. And Dillian White has also been setting up a Tyson Fury fight. They have been chirping at each other a lot. And Tyson Fury has been talking back to him.
This is a dangerous fight for Dillian White, though.
It is a very dangerous fight. Oscar Rivas is no man's bitch. But
if he gets hit the way he got hit with Chisora by Oscar Rivas, he'll go night-night.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Dillian White is more hittable than people like to remember. But Dillian White, you know, he's the guy who should have had I thought he was the one who had to drop out of the...
If boxing was ran the way the UFC was, he would have already fought against... Deontay Wilder, because he was the number one contender for a long time.
He was supposed to fight Deontay, and then it ended up being Andy Ruiz, right? No, who am I thinking of? I always fucking mix these two up, and it fucking fucks
Joshua.
Against Joshua with Andy Ruiz. He was supposed to fight Anthony Joshua, right?
Because remember Anthony Joshua cut that promo about who do you guys want to see me fight, Deontay Wilder or Dillian White, and the crowd was like split, and he was like, listen, I'll fight Deontay, but if I don't get Deontay, I'll fight Dillian White. And then he still didn't fight Dillian White.
Yeah, he still didn't fight. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going off the rails. Dillian White put together against Chisora an amazing, you know, knockout of the year contender with a giant left hook. Dillian White is a former K-1 striker. He's one of the best boxers on the planet. He's a very tough, durable guy.
Start off as an MMA fighter.
Did start off as an MMA fighter. If you can't make it as an MMA heavyweight, you kind of suck, though. I'll say that right now. Honestly, not for nothing. You look at the heavyweight division. Where in the heavyweight division would you expect Dillian White to be certed at? This is an interesting question.
But I think it must have been the money, because number one, he's from England.
True. Yeah, and he's two, a big part of that English boxing revolution.
And just in general, we talked about this before, boxers get paid way more than MMA fighters.
Oh, not even close. If you have your choice and you don't pick boxing, you're an absolute idiot. So let's take a look at these guys. Stop me when you feel like he would find his level. Him versus Derek Lewis. Probably Dillian, right? Yeah. Curtis Blaydes. Probably Dillian,
yeah.
Right? Junior Dos Santos. Here's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Close, right? Yeah. Francis Ngannou. That's interesting, fun. Right? Yeah. Stipe Miocic. Fun, right? Yeah. A lot of this. Even though he's not even an MMA fighter, he's like, I still kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of really interesting MMA matchups for Dillian White. Daniel Cormier. Give it to me. Yes, please. I'd watch that. Cormier, I feel like, would probably run through him. But still, you know, Stipe and Francis and Junior, you know, those are top three contenders. Interesting. I feel like Dillian White is going to beat us, Grievous. What do you think?
I think so, too. And I feel like something needs to happen because I feel like there's a four-headed monster, not a three-headed monster. And I'm not talking about Andy Ruiz. I'm talking about Dillian White should have a seat at that table. I feel like he's just as good. I feel in that combination of putting Joshua, Fury, Wilder, I feel like you got to put White in there. And those combinations could beat each other.
Can a white guy finally make it, though? Really? In today's world. But he's like 3B, right? Like, he's not quite on the... I feel like he is, like, a pinky hair behind the rest.
Well, I mean...
I say pinky hair because I don't want to say cunt hair.
Let's see. I'd be interested to see him fight against Fury.
I want to see the fights. Let's put it that way. I for sure want to see it. It's a very interesting fight. But I feel like they're 55-45 for any of those matches.
And I feel like he got so much better since the Joshua fight.
You know who he should fight, although he's a little hittable. If he could fight any of them, I would try to get him in there with Wilder.
Yeah.
Although him and Joshua is still a great fight. Man, there's a lot of good fights for Dillian White out here.
Him and Ruiz would be fun.
Oh, man. I feel like he would crack Ruiz.
Bombs away.
I feel like he is definitely better than Andy Ruiz. I'll put it that way. If we have those five, Deontay Wilder's not at the bottom of my list. I'll put it that way.
Those five...
As soon as history corrects itself here and Joshua beats Andy Ruiz, like many people expect in the rematch, although we haven't even broken that fight down, that might not be my official pick. As soon as, you know, the world gets back on track there... I feel like Andy's going to drop to 5 pretty quick in a lot of rankings.
You know, I'm surprised Joseph Parker disappeared so quickly after his loss.
Yeah, because remember, that was a weird fight, too. That was, Parker clearly wanted to work from the clinch a lot. And that weird Italian Mario referee kept breaking them after like 3 seconds in the clinch, not even. You know, it would literally be like a beat. And he would jump in and like pull him apart, give no time to work. From that close distance. Dillian White knockout.
He went the distance. He's the only guy to go the distance against Joshua.
And he won rounds. He looked tough. Dillian White versus Oscar Rivas. Dillian White by knockout. I say Dillian White by knockout. Derek Chisora is fighting.
It's going to be really fun.
It is going to be really fun. Derek Chisora is fighting Spielka. This one's also on DAZN, I believe.
Yeah. I feel like that's also a really fun fight.
It is a fun heavyweight fight. Man, it is nice to have heavyweight boxing again. Where we can have two guys. These aren't top 10 guys. You know, these are, you know, they're tertiary guys.
Well, Ruiz and White are top 10 guys.
Yeah, but I mean, Chisora and Spielka.
Yeah.
They're not top 10 guys. No. They're not contenders, really. You know, they're around. But they're just guys who are around. It's a really fun fight. That doesn't usually happen in heavyweight. This is a really nice thing. It's like how I feel. So I follow like American wrestling a lot and like international wrestling. American wrestling is finally in a place where like for 10 weight classes, we have 10 guys who can all go and like really contend for world titles. That never happens. In 100 years, that's happened like twice. And this is one of the times. So I was like, listen, drink up while it's here. While the bar's open, make sure you get as fucked up as possible because it's not going to stay open for very long. I feel like that about the heavyweight division right now. Enjoy fights like Chisora and Spielka.
You know what? This is one of those things that I hate about being such a huge fight fan. Because it's summertime. I would love to go out there and party and drink it up and have a good time. But I really want to watch these fights.
They're really good, right?
I really just want to watch these fights. I know there's probably going to be some girl that's like, hey,
that's also my excuse for not getting pussy. I'm just too busy watching boxing.
Let's go on a date. I'm probably going to be like, no, a date? When Pacquiao fights Thurman?
Are you out of your mind? Yeah. Oh my god, I'm not missing.
You better go to brunch on Sunday.
Yeah. But the breakfast. Okay. I think I actually like Spielka in this one, if I'm being honest. I know Chisora looked really good in his last fight against Dillian White. But man, that knockout was hellacious. And it has not been a long time since then.
We're gonna act like Spielka's never been
knocked
out.
Yeah, that's true, that's fair. If we're talking knockouts, then we're gonna have to talk about Spielka getting knocked out a bunch of times. 50-50 fight. Flip a coin.
Yeah, great fight.
Try to check Chisora. It out. Yeah, you go Chisora. Okay, there you go. We'll split on it. Anything else for the week?
Sorry, I just thought about...
Asian Paul Heyman again? Me too. Literally the whole time.
No, I just thought about when Spielka got knocked out.
I am the advocate for Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry.
And then his boy started hitting on his girl. As soon as he gets knocked out, his friend has his arm around her. They're getting all super close and touch. And it's like, that quick? Your boy just, what's his name, Funfara, just had his girl all cradled up, and I was like,
how are you guys
that close?
Sorry, I'm still thinking Asian Paul Heyman. I imagine he laughs like an anime boss, like, not a natural laugh, it's like, hew, 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 hew. Hands on his hips, like, throwing his head back. Oh, man. I might write a sketch around this or something.
Asian Paul Heyman.
Asian Paul Heyman. What do you think about a sketch? Okay, this, what do you think about a sketch where, have you ever seen those faith healers who, like, are like, oh, Jesus, take the Down syndrome out of this boy, and they're like, you know, they pull their hand off the guy. Have you ever seen one of those guys?
Oh, no, he made him gay. No.
Yeah, no, something like that. But I would want one of those faith healers.
Put it back in him.
He's trying to cure a guy's erectile dysfunction, but he does it by, like, furiously beating him off, right? So that's the sketch, is this one guy beating off another guy. I'm going to write Asian Paul Heyman. Let the people know how to get a hold of you, Jesse.
Follow me on social media.
Unless you have something else to add to the conversation, would you like to keep going? Is there anything else Fight Week related that you would like to talk about? We can take a cool down joke, another couple laughs. I can pull up other sketch work I have. It's mostly racial variations on Asian Paul Heyman, if I'm being honest. I have Italian Paul Heyman. I have Korean Paul Heyman. I have Mulan Paul Heyman. If I'm being honest, I have Australian Paul Heyman. Good day, mates. Good day. I am the advocate for Brock Lesnar. It's mostly sitting around drinking Foster's. What, you call that a universal champ? That's a universal champ. Australian Paul Heyman.
Follow me on social media. Jerry Rivas Comedy on Instagram and Jesse Rivas on Facebook.
Yo, oh no, this is what we're going to end with. We're going to end with some shit talking. Do you remember that kid Devin Brent?
Yes.
Did you know he's a rapper now?
No.
Yes. Oh my God, Jesse.
We're not done with the podcast. Let's start off.
We're not done, right?
No.
Is what you're saying? Yeah, for sure. Oh man. His name is, what is it? I got to pull it up right now. Okay, while I'm doing that, I want to let you know that apparently JR Jim Ross smokes weed now. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
that is pretty cool. Oh, what's his name?
Apparently he always did. I've heard stories of him.
No shit.
Yeah, some way before WWE days.
Okay. This is his, he raps under the name. So this guy is like a school shooter that like didn't have enough initiative to really get it done in the time. And he basically ran himself out of comedy in DC, just by like being like the most insufferable cunt. And he, now, he always claimed he is a ghostwriter for rappers, and now he is rapping under the name Codeine Martin. And his rap album title is, I wish I could find it, Nightmares and Daydreams, which is really bad. And here is the cover. It's him doing like a mugshot thing.
God.
First of all, if his name is Codeine Martin, we should call him Mountain Dew Codeine Red. But yeah. this is the best part. So this kid, like, he's like really short, and he's got like these big saggy mom tits. He looks like he was breastfed till he was 15. Even in his own like fantasy mugshot, he only put himself as being like 5'9". For real, he's like 5'6", right? But like, which is like not a disrespectful height. All due respect to everyone is 5'6", Frankie Edgar included. But like, come on, at least just leave out the numbers, you know? Why leave the joke there where you have to call yourself short? That's unbelievable, right?
Oh my God.
Rapper Devin Brent exists in this world.
You know, Devin Brent is a better rap name than Cody.
Yeah, that's a good rap name. Just call yourself Devin Brent. Call yourself MC Kid who's fucking...
Do you know how many old white comedians thought he was a girl?
Yo, I'm sure he got hit on by, at least a couple of guys. I'm sure Jason Champion tried to fuck him. I am certain Jason Champion tried to fuck him. I saw this, I was laughing so hard, I was like phasing through my chair.
I remember there was a couple of old white comedians used to hang around Alex Starr. They asked me a couple of times. They were like, "That's a transgender, right?"
I was "Oh my god!"
I'm like, "That's actually a guy." They're like, "Does he have cancer?" I'm like, "He just looks that way."
Oh my god! He it's just such a self-own for him to do that. And he thinks he's so cool. He should go by the rap name DJ Qualls.
I think he listens to this podcast, to be honest.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well then write in. If Devin Brent sends us a song, I will play it on this podcast. That is my word, and I don't necessarily stick to it, but maybe I will, so it's worth a shot. Devin, send one of us a song.
What a own would it be if we did that, and it's actually good?
It's, like, really fucking good.
We'd be like, oh my god.
No, he's a snitch. He'll probably play this for, like, he'll send this to, like, the Japanese embassy and be like, look what he's saying about you and Paul Heyman. Jesse, put yourself over. That's the end of the podcast.
Follow me.
We ended fucking strong this week.
J Rivas on Instagram and J Rivas on Facebook.
Follow the show, like the show, please subscribe to the show, tell a friend, we really appreciate it. The numbers keep growing every week, which is all very exciting. We will be back next week here on the Fighter's Block.